Hey everybody, welcome back to Top Bins with Twins. Today we're going to discuss wild cards, the festive fixtures, and we're going to try to get off Elon's shitty app. Let's do it. Hello there, FPL managers. This is Luke with Top Bins with Twins, and sitting right next to me, I have Paul. Paul, say hi to everyone.
Hello, everyone.
We want to give a very warm welcome to any new listeners we might have out there. So if you're listening for the first time, welcome to Top Bins with Twins. We are a podcast that is purely intentioned to talk about FPL and help you go through those difficult decisions that we have week in, week out, and have some fun while we're doing it. Paul, do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself real fast, and then we'll dive right into everything we're going to cover for the episode?
Yeah, I'm an Arsenal fan. I'm most likely going to piss you off with my Arsenal takes.
But unless you're an Arsenal fan, and then a lot of
people, if you're an Arsenal fan, you probably really understand the corruption and all the stuff that's going on, you know, whatever. We won't dive too much into that right now, but my perspective on FPL is I'm usually more vibes-based and more just like an eye test kind of manager. And Luke is more data-centric, and Luke's also helped me develop kind of looking more into like the numbers of stuff and like looking into that realm of FPL. But I think we're kind of a good balance.
We definitely are. As Paul said, I'm a little more analytical in how I approach things. Definitely do like to incorporate the eye test and X vibes into my decisions as well.
X vibes.
I do tend to lean more on the underlying data portion of things for how I try to make my decisions. Do I always go with that? No, I don't. And hence my horrible overall rank at the moment.
Yeah, Luke, let's go ahead and let's talk about that real quick.
I'm currently sitting at about 4.1 million. I'm not happy with that, as you can imagine. Really bad start to the season, but on the bright side, I'm playing my wild card this week. I'll be going in game week 12 with a brand new team that I'm very, very excited about. We will talk about our wildcard teams and kind of some general ideas, because we don't really want to be sharing our exact teams on the pod, because we don't want to kind of, you know, overstep on each other's teams a little bit.
Yeah.
So we're going to be mindful of that during this episode, but we're going to talk about teams to target, players that we think could be good, without getting too heavily into which players we'll be bringing in. Maybe next week we'll talk a little bit more about that in the episode as we get closer to the deadline.
Mm-hmm. And just so everybody knows where the other top bin is, the other twin, the other top bin twin is sitting. I'm sitting at 817K had a really good week last week. It could have been a lot better if I would have captained Salah and had some different pieces falling. But I think as of this time right now, I'm pretty happy with where my rank is overall in our mini league. I kind of like where I'm sitting too. So I think there's a lot of room to grow. There's a couple transfers I made this season that have kind of hurt my ability to be exactly where I think ideally in the next couple weeks, I want to be top 100K, maybe like after the festive fixtures or kind of trending in that direction. But of course, you know, we can plan and stuff just happens. So
here's what, right. And I think you're right, Paul, right? There's so many things that we can try to plan out through various planning tools and designing our teams for transfers for the next 10 weeks or so, which might be a little overboard because FPL changes so fast, right? And things completely turn on their heads, and what we plan for by the 2 weeks from then, it could be completely different for what we're trying to do for our team. So that's a really good point to bring up. Speaking of trying to change the vibes, I think what I'm going to do before the deadline for next week for Game Week 12 starts, I'm going to change my username for this year. How you can pick your name? I'm going to change that because it's time to switch up the mojo. It's currently sitting on Ides of March for my man Sully Marsh. It just hasn't been doing the trick for me this year, so I think I'm going to go in and change that up. Not sure what I'm going to go with quite yet, but hopefully that will assist in making my wild card be a lot better. So,
yeah. If anybody, just so everybody knows, my team's name is Kai's Kingdom. And
it's a good one. It's a good
he
one.
He will be mentioned later on this podcast.
That does not surprise me one bit. I think he will be mentioned. A good shout, to say the least.
He will be mentioned. But another important thing to mention, Luke, is that we've recently made the migration from X, the desolate
wasteland,
desolate wasteland of Elon's imagination, and we moved over to Blue Sky. And let me tell you, people, that's the place to be. It felt, the interface feels different, and it just feels like a much more positive community. And I think me and Luke are both really enjoying kind of like FPL in that sphere right now. So it's really exciting.
It's also very refreshing too, because if you log on to X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, you have a lot of extraneous stuff in there that's not related to what you really want to see. And one of the main perks of Blue Sky is there's no ads, and you just see the tweets from people you follow, which is, you don't realize it until you see an app that doesn't have that. And then you compare that to X, and it is a night and day difference. And I think everyone is really, really enjoying that. So let's hope that this positive push on Blue Sky continues, because like Paul said, we're really enjoying it, and we look forward to connecting with you all on there and then other social medias as well. But Blue Sky seems to be exactly where we want to be right now.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, okay. How about we just go ahead and dive into, we can talk about our wildcard teams, and we're also going to get you ready this week to prepare for those festive fixtures that are coming up really soon and really kick off with, you know, the start of game week 12, right? Because we're reaching the end of November, and we know November, December, and even into the beginning of January, that is the craziest time in the Premier League schedule, because it's purely, pretty much just Premier League football, which is incredible. Mm-hmm. So some quick highlights, Paul. I'm going to say this real fast, and then we can go into a little bit more detail. We have three midweek game weeks coming up on the near horizon. Game week 14, which is starts the 3rd of December. We have Boxing Day, which is obviously the 26th of December, and then January 14th. So all of those game weeks, which is game week 14, game week 18, and then game week 21. For all three of those game weeks, they're going to be midweek fixtures, and the football is going to be coming really fast and very furious. So we have to be ready to have, I think, you know, one of the biggest points, have a deep team, right, where you can rely upon some of your subs coming in if you need them to, because injuries do pop up around this time of the year with the amount of minutes that are on people's legs. And then also kind of strategically planning out how we want to set up our team. So if you're on wildcard right now, I would highly recommend to be looking at how your team looks going all the way up to game week 18 or so, right? You want to have a good idea if those fixtures are the ones you want to be targeting for the long run. So we don't want to just be wildcarding in a team for game week 12, and then it gets to 13 and we're like, oh, well, I don't have these three players who I should have picked before the deadline who have great fixtures on the long term. Any more suggestions, Paul? I'm sure you have plenty to suggest, but
yeah, I mean, there's so many thoughts that go into like pulling this wild card and the festive fixtures that I think at the end of the day, like you said, the main thing really is that planning is the most important aspect you can do really at this point in time.
I agree.
Like, especially in this window, I mean, there's still injuries rolling in from the international fixtures and everything. So if you're not playing a wild card, I highly would not recommend making transfers before we kind of have the dust has settled of the international break, especially at this point. Like if you made transfers at the beginning for like price rises and everything, I totally get that. But kind of let it sit now, see if there's any more injuries, if things change. I would wait up until the deadline to make transfers at this point if it were me. But going into the festive fixtures and playing a wild card, like you said, Luke, if you don't have a wild card, I think rolling as many transfers as you can into the festive fixtures is really important. Like having the five free transfers now is going to be something that's really important, because you're going to have flexibility, because like you said, we're going to see a lot of games back to back to back. And there could be those instances where you have injuries pop up, where you need to make changes to your team, and having flexibility is a massive thing, you know?
And another note to kind of augment those people who are using their wildcard in game week 12, by wildcarding in game week 12, you should be bringing in players that you think are good for the long run, and making transfers on the back end of that. Say game week 13, you're like, okay, well, I want this player and I'm going to make a transfer in 13. one of the perks of wildcarding in 12 that I see is that you can plan out your team to where you don't have to use a transfer, hopefully, for the next 2-3 weeks, and you can build up those transfers. Mm-hmm. And essentially, if you need it, say we get to game week 15 and we see that, you know, something's shifting, there's players you want to get in, maybe Holland goes crazy and you decide I need to get him back in, but it's hard to get him back in. If you're able to build up 4 to 5 free transfers, maybe even just 3 by that point after wildcarding, because you roll your transfers after using the wildcard, then that is really beneficial there. And it almost gives you another miniature wildcard right after you wildcard, which is really nice to have.
Yeah, and that's a big thing too, I think, with this wild card, is that including Haaland or not including Haaland kind of is like maybe one of the first questions you should ask yourself and decide which way you want to play it, because it just kind of determines so many things about your team, because you have so much more flexibility and like adaptability to bring in different players with price points and everything. But I mean, if you have Haaland in your team, you are really, really like hamstrung.
Yeah, you're very pigeonholed, yeah. Right? Because the funds just, if you want a premium midfield of, as the majority of people do, of Palmer, Salah, and Saka, it is, I think, nearly impossible to have Haaland in that team as well.
Yeah.
And
I don't know if it is it possible.
I don't think it is. I've tried myself and I got to the point of where the budget had about £5 million left in it. Mm-hmm. And that was with very drastic cuts everywhere else around the team. And you're just sacrificing so much to get those four in that it feels like the best way to do this is to be rotating across premiums. Having three at one time is, I think, essential. You need to have at least three of those four in whatever draft you're putting together, in my opinion. But there's flexibility within having certain premiums and not having others. So it's something that I'm sure is on your mind as well, Paul, whenever you're looking through the teams that you're going to put together for your wild card for game week 12.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really, I think it's really fun. I think this is like the most exciting times as an FPL manager, when you have the ability to really like, when you have more data points, you have an ability to kind of have like a idea of the layout of FPL right now. And you can make these like huge changes to your team to set up for a long run.
Yes.
I think it's a lot of fun to kind of like play with that, but it's also super depressing if you do that and play a wild card and it doesn't work out well for you. But when I say that work out for you, I mean in a long-term capacity,
right?
Because wild cards aren't something that should be a knee-jerk reaction where if you have a bad first week, you make changes the next week. That you're making these transfers for, like Luke said, probably up to 18, 19, somewhere in that capacity, where you could build in transfers to your wild card, of course, once you like get a couple weeks in. But I mean, to me, it's like this is a long-term play that's holistically changing your team.
It is. And I think this is a great time to talk about the biggest problem that a lot of us have, and that's Erling Haaland. Paul's been going for weeks on weeks now without Haaland in his team.
Week 5, baby.
And since week five, he timed it almost perfectly. I mean, just...
He's had like 2 goals since then, I think.
It was definitely a next level call on your part, Paul. That was really impressive. XG has been really crazy good. I think, you know, there's been some luck involved, but the call itself has played off incredibly well, and you've done a great job with that choice, in my opinion.
Thanks, sir.
The thing about Haaland that I want to talk about is if you look at City's fixtures upcoming for the next 3 game weeks, he for sure, in my opinion, is not the best captaincy pick amongst the premium. So thinking Palmer, Salah, Saka and Haaland, amongst just those four, thinking about them as captaincy options, I think that Haaland becomes the best captaincy again probably game week 15 is whenever they have Crystal Palace away. I feel like that, compared to the other 3 teams that would be in consideration and their players, I think City probably has the best fixture that week for game week 15.
I mean, Luke, there is a world though where, I mean, if you look at City's like next 5 fixtures, I mean, so they play Tottenham at home. That match, honestly, to me, is a toss-up. Who knows what Tottenham team's going to show up?
Yeah.
Who knows what City team? That one, who knows? And then they play Liverpool away, which is a huge fixture.
Right, yeah. But
huge.
In the vein of what we're talking about with captaincy, I think for game week 13, I think that Palmer and Haaland are very – no, sorry. Sorry. Salah and Haaland for Game Week 13 when they play each other, I think that's very difficult to captain either one of them in that
I think it would be Salah.
You would go with Salah?
He usually – I mean, I wouldn't pick him that week, but if I was going to pick between those two, I think Salah always seems to turn up in those big matches.
I could see that one being 0-0.
I mean, I hope so.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was. I hope
they cancel out points for each other. That'd be lovely.
Yeah.
Can they both get 0 points? But
don't think so. But continue.
Yeah. I don't know. To me, I just think that I think there will be a time, like you said, to go to Haaland. But I don't think that time is now. I mean, obviously, he has the chance. I mean, he just scored a hat trick for Norway in the international break. That's a different setup. That's a different team. Sometimes I think the international fixtures cloud our minds a little bit too much, you know? Because it's just a completely different environment, you know, that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Like system, structure, all those different things. But my point is about City is that, I mean, I don't know where things really change for them. Because, I mean, I know Pep he's probably the best manager in the world. Maybe one of the best of all time. But, I mean, it's not like they're really getting people back from injury. It's not like things are really changing for them. And they have tough fixtures over the next five.
Caveat. KDB could be back fit. If KDB's back fit, that's a different team, right? He did not go on international duty this time around, which, you know, I am a fan of no one going on international duty for November because there's just not a lot that's to be accomplished by going. Representing your country is a great thing, but I think at this point in the season, preparing for the stretch run of the festive fixtures, I honestly respect players who draw that boundary and say, okay, this is not the best thing for me. I need to focus on my club at this point in time and then go back and be ready for January to go, you know, full force with their respective countries.
Yeah.
The final thought that I have on Haaland, as you're kind of mentioning City there, Paul, I think the time to go back to Haaland is going to be game week 18 for Boxing Day. Game week 18. City have Everton at home, then they go Leicester away, and then they go West Ham at home. Following that, they go Brentford away, Ipswich away. Those five fixtures there from game week 18 all the way up to game week 22, incredible run there for City. I think game week 18 we'll see a lot of people going back to Haaland. Obviously, he's more than likely to return before then. But the likelihood of him returning against that run of teams, I think, is really, really good. It's a good time to bring him back into the team.
Yeah, I like that, Luke. I think that sounds like a more opportune time to bring him in than right now to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it is possible. I mean, I realize his price point, but if you've rolled probably three transfers into that week, you can easily get him in with some finagling in your team, you know?
But the other thing about this, right, and this is something that's important to mention in this conversation about Haaland, is the funds that you're using for Haaland. If you can allocate that to other positions and it allows you to get returns into your team, even if Haaland returns, you can still counterbalance that by having, let's say, it allows you to get...
Chris Wood.
Triggered. For example, let's say it allows you to get Saka, Salah, Palmer. Maybe you go with Watkins for a differential for a little while.
Isak,
if you can get all those players in your team and they return within the same week, then you can counterbalance Haaland if he has two goals, right? You can survive that. You just need those players you're bringing in order with the funds you're taking out for to take Haaland out. You need them to return to justify that.
Yes.
And that's something that you'll only know looking back retrospectively. So just keep that in mind that if you're going to go without him, you need the players you're bringing in to return, and you should expect them to return consistently to kind of decrease that fear of not having Haaland.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, Luke. But I think we should pivot the wild card discussion a little bit to who we kind of think are essential wild card picks.
Okay, let's first talk about the teams that we think are good to target.
Okay.
Does that work? So. Yeah. Go ahead, Paul, just kind of rip through some of the teams that you think are the best for what FPL managers to target for game week 12.
Yeah. So
starting with 12, game week 12,
game week 12 forward. I personally, of course, this is my bias, but I think Arsenal have a really good run of fixtures and Odegaard back. Things are changing.
Yeah.
That's a simple fact. Villa have a really good run of fixtures. I mean, playing Crystal Palace at home, Chelsea away is a little difficult, but then they play Brentford at home, Southampton at home, Nottingham Forest away, and then it gets more difficult after game week 17. But for that, for those 5 weeks,
right,
that's a really good run. We have Bournemouth. I think Bournemouth are set up pretty well. I mean, you play Brighton away, Brighton at home, Wolves away, Tottenham at home. Bournemouth have shown they can beat anybody.
Yeah,
and I think there are a couple options at Bournemouth that are good FPL assets going forward for all managers.
Okay, real fast, before you move on, who do you think are the best options? I think we probably agree, but...
Semenyo's number one and Evan Nilsson's number two.
Okay, I think another one to throw... I completely agree with that ranking, and I like that order that you put them in.
Mm-hmm.
I really actually like Kirkez as well, their left back. Okay. He's someone that gives you a pathway into that Bournemouth defense. I know they haven't kept a ton of clean sheets, but they've been one of the better teams this season. A little unfortunate, but I also like that shout as well. So continue on, though. I just wanted to kind of clarify your thoughts there a little bit.
Absolutely. And I also think Brighton, Chelsea, and, I mean, to me after that, I mean, we have, besides that, I mean, I think those are the main teams that are really targeted.
Okay.
There's a sneaky option, I think, of Newcastle with a couple assets.
Mm-hmm.
That they could be good. Mm-hmm. Manchester United, I mean, their first two fixtures are really good to start this break, and then it gets a lot more difficult.
Yes, agreed.
So I think there's a sneaky shout, too. I mean, we know the kind of form Bruno Fernandes is in right now. It's just the questions of how is he going to play in the new system that's coming in.
Yes, yeah. I think he'll probably... So
he's going to be a 10 alongside another 10,
agreed,
most likely.
Agreed. Because he loves to play like a 3-4-2-1, essentially.
Yeah, it inverts. It's a 3-4-3 that inverts.
Yes, it is. Exactly. So, yes, Bruno will probably thrive in that role. I still don't fully know what to expect, though. I do think they'll be good, but I don't know how good. I don't know if it'll be worth investing. So if I'm investing on my wild card, it's going to be very minimal with the idea of, okay, maybe I go there again at some point. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they've got some difficult fixtures on the near-term radar. They've got Arsenal in, what is that, game week 14? That's away at the Emirates. And then they've got Man City away in game week 16. So some tough fixtures, kind of baptism through the fire for Amorim as he gets settled into Manchester United. But another team, the team I wanted to ask you about, Paul, is do you not like the run the Wolves have?
No, I do.
You do?
They're at the bottom of the list. And I think Wolves are going to be, they have good assets going forward. I don't know if I necessarily believe in Wolves like a lot of other people do. There's something about Cunha as an FPL asset that I, for some reason, I just kind of, I don't know. I just feel like it's just not an option that I usually that I'd want to explore, but he's in my current wild card right now, you know.
Ooh, he's in your current wild card.
I would say so. I mean,
okay.
A lot of the stuff I have set up in my wild card. Like, of course, right now I'm just trying to play price rises a little bit too.
So he's
in the conversation. Let's put it that way. But yes, I do like Wolves fixture run, Luke. It's very spicy.
I do too. So a lot of the teams you just said, I completely agree on. I went through and I ranked the teams that I thought had the best fixtures just based upon some stats I looked at and a lot of my feeling of how they're performing at the moment. I actually put Chelsea as number one, who I thought had the best run of fixtures.
It is kind of odd, though, with like they have like a really easy first fixture back, a more difficult one of, I think it's Villa. And then a really easy one, is it Southampton?
Yes.
And then it goes somebody difficult again.
It goes Tottenham and then Brentford and Everton. And yeah. If you look at those first 4 weeks, yes, I do think that is not going to be the easiest. But in those two difficult fixtures, Aston Villa at home and then Tottenham away, Cole Palmer or Jackson could easily return in those fixtures. I'm not worried about them returning in those because I think there's a high likelihood they'll be able to. So
I mean, there's also a chance Neto could return too.
Yes, Neto is a very interesting pick, I think. He's someone who
6.2
gives you a very cheap price point. And if I've seen this and I've also thought about it myself as well, is doubling up on Chelsea midfield is interesting because there's so many great forward options. I don't know if I want to go with Jackson. His underlyings are good. He's converting chances. But I do wonder if there's other forwards out there that might be better over the long run. It's just kind of what I'm kind of toying with at the moment. But
the thing real quick, sorry, Luke, to cut you off, but like, I feel like all these Chelsea assets, especially the top two ones like Jackson and Palmer, I don't think Neto so much does this, but like they have the ability to like hat trick boom.
Yes,
in any given week, which is just kind of the way Chelsea play right now, how they're attacking. And like, that's very exciting as an FPL manager to have someone in your team where like, oh, I could see two goals and an assist or all of these crazy numbers in 1 week. But it's also a question of consistency too. And I don't know if Jackson checks that box, you know?
Yeah. With the fixtures they have, I do feel good about him returning. I know Cole Palmer is their most important and they're the player that's most likely to return. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there are other forwards who are that for their teams as well.
Right.
That's kind of where my thinking is at the moment. Real quick, I'll run through this real fast to tell you all who I think has the best fixture. So like I was saying, I think Chelsea's number one. I think Arsenal's number two on that list. I like their fixtures a lot. And I think they're going to start playing a lot better with Odegaard being back. I think that's going to open things up for Havertz, for Saka, for all of their team. I think it's going to make their defense better as well. Yeah, his ability to retain the ball really put pressure on opposing teams with the way that he organizes and sets their traps whenever they're pressing teams. He's going to take a lot of pressure off their defense. The third team I think has the best fix is Wolves. And then I think goes Newcastle, Brighton, and then Villa. So all those teams, I really like their fixtures. And for my wild card, I'll be looking to have at least one to two, maybe even three for some of these teams of their players within my wild card for game week 12. So that's, you know, Paul and I think are pretty much in agreement there with the teams, right? Yeah,
we don't disagree about any of those.
Yeah, it's pretty cut and dry, really. So I think the best thing for us to do now, Paul, let's go into the specific players that we think kind of really stand out. Maybe the best way to do this, what we should do here is let's both pick three players that we think are non-negotiables to have in a wild card. And then we can talk about it from there.
But okay. I mean, I think the easy, undisputed number one option here is Mo Salah. He has 36 points in his last three matches, sitting on a total of 107 points in his FPL team. Luke just sneezed. We're all good, Bo.
Excuse me.
Bless you. But yeah, he has 36 points in three matches, 107 points, and he just feels like he's back in the form where he's going to be scoring goals consistently or being like one of the main things I like to talk about in this podcast that I think we both kind of have integrated, Luke, is that when you're looking at especially an attacking or like a forward or a midfielder, it's like, is this person the focal point of their attack and are they going to be around a majority of the chances? And it's a clear yes for Salah.
Yeah,
he just creates, and he puts so much pressure on defenses that to me, he's a non-negotiable in any wild card you have.
And here's the thing with Salah. I saw an interview. I think one of Liverpool's channels was interviewing him. And he said that he knows that he kind of drifts through matches sometimes, but he's still always able to find the moment, right? To have a moment of class where he gets the goal or gets an assist from making a brilliant play where he cuts it in, cuts it back, and just does something Mo Salah-esque, right? It's crazy to hear him say he's aware of that, but when you watch Salah, that's so evident that sometimes he kind of coasts through games a little bit. But it almost feels inevitable that regardless of how good or how bad he performs, he's going to get a chance. And as of now, it feels like he's almost always going to finish that chance.
Yeah, I think the issue last year for him was basically their midfield didn't have the capability to get the ball to him in really good positions. And this year, that's just completely different. Like Gravenberch has completely changed their midfield and Curtis Jones being back and being in a healthier form, McAllister, like they just, I don't know. And the system, the slot system is a good look on Salah, you know?
It really is, yeah. I respect Salah a lot for what he's done so far in this season. A lot of people would really, even top managers, right, coming into a club as big as Liverpool with the expectations that comes with them, they would struggle, but he has seamlessly fitted in and done such an incredible job with their squad. What I do want to say about Salah is he is slightly overperforming his numbers a little bit. His expected goals are 6.57 with 8 goals. His assist, this is where he's really outperforming. He has an XA of 2.05 with 6 assists. So there's a pretty big gap there, especially with his underlying XA numbers. But that's Salah, right? That's kind of the story of who he is. So if you don't have Salah, good luck watching that fixture against Southampton this coming week, because Ramsdale's going to be out. He had to have surgery. I can't remember what it was. Was it his hand or?
I don't know. Maybe a broken finger. I don't know.
That sounds right. And then I just saw recently that the Polish defender for Southampton, Benderek? Yes, we'll go. Yes. So he's going to be out for about 3 weeks or so after going with the Polish squad. So.
And you know what the worst part is, Luke? Southampton have a horrible run of fixtures going forward. Like, so bad. So basically, they play Liverpool at home, Brighton away, Chelsea at home, Villa away, Tottenham at home, and Fulham away. Ouch. I mean, that's... Ouch. To me, they'll be lucky to get, like, 2 points, 1 point out of that, you know?
Yeah, that's going to be a rough go of it for them. So
pray for Southampton.
Yes, prayers for Southampton.
But yeah, Luke, who do you think is who do you think number two on the list, number one on your list for a non-negotiable in a wild card?
I think Salah is a great pick for that. Number two that I have on my list is Saka, of all people. I think that Saka is, you know, he's been a little up and down this season. A lot of that, I would say, is due to the way that Arsenal as a whole has been playing and the injuries they've had. That's really complicated their entire season for them. I expect Saka to, as we know, he is at the center of a lot of things that they create, and he's in positions where he's the one that finishes or sets up the final ball. I expect Arsenal to be better, so in saying that, I expect Saka's returns to increase over the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So going without Saka, and I know they're playing Forest at home. Forest have been really good through the course of the season. I think Arsenal are going to make pretty easy work of Forest.
Yeah, we did kind of see last game week what Newcastle did to Forest. And I personally have not really bought into the Newcastle hype. I know they're having a great start to their season. It's honestly remarkable what they've done to start the season, but I just don't think that's something that's sustainable long term for them, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
The law of averages.
The law of averages equal out. Speaking of the law of averages, let's look at Saka's underlying numbers.
Yeah.
He has 2.48 XG accumulated up to this point in the season in the Premier League with 3 goals. And then he also has 3.43 XA, so expected assist, with 7 assists. So there's a huge gap there between his XA and his assist, right? That makes a big difference there. But I do expect for him to continue to return. My one concern is that Ben White's injury might limit his effectiveness, right? Because we know his relationship with Ben White is top-notch. The way that those two play with each other, where they form the triangle with Odegaard, and then they open up space for each other, is really important to how Arsenal play. So it'll be interesting to see how Timber performs whenever he's probably taking on that right back position, as long as he's fit.
Yeah.
I think Arsenal are a great team to invest in. And if you're going to invest, Saka is going to be their main man. He's going to be on penalties. I think he is really kind of a no doubt in my mind to have in a wild card, if you're going to wild card in 12.
Yeah, I'm there with you, Luke.
And so one more quick note on Saka. His ownership is really low right now. Last I looked, it was below 20%. And that, to have someone that is that effective of a finisher and create so many chances, something to think about, right? Because having the low ownership really, really can impact your overall rank if he does return. So keep that in mind. But go ahead, Paul. I think I cut you off.
Yeah, no, you're good. I was just going to bounce to my second non-negotiable in a wild card. And that's, I think I'm going with low-hanging fruit here, but Cole Palmer has to be in your team.
Yeah, yep. No,
I think we see a lot of ebb and flows to him in his FPL returns, but we know the ability he has to have those three go weeks or three assist weeks.
And it kind of feels like he's kind of lulling everybody to sleep because they've had kind of tougher fixtures. There's been a little bit of, I don't know, I think he's been very involved with stuff for Chelsea, as he always is. But the returns just haven't been right there for him. But he's been very close over the past 3 weeks. And I think we could see him this coming game week have a huge performance.
Yes, I agree. And I think he, along with Saka, they're going to be those players that really benefit from having this break, from the international break, where their bodies can rest up a little bit, get ready for this stretch of Premier League games that are coming up. And we could see that kind of translating to FPL returns on the pitch, right? Because when these players are getting a little leggy, and things are, they're playing games every 3 to 4 days, it gets a bit more difficult. And Palmer's a little different because he doesn't play in Europe. But I do think this international break is going to do wonders for a lot of players who did not report to their respective countries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm not going to go off a tangent about the international break, but I just think Palmer's a great asset, and he's somebody that should probably sit in your team for the rest of the season. Unless things dramatically change, I don't think there's a world where he shouldn't be in your team,
Hear me out, Paul. I have a couple counterpoints that I'd like to bring up for you about Cole Palmer.
Go for it.
Cole Palmer currently costs £10.9 million. That's a lot of chunk of change when you're looking at your team, especially if you're trying to get Haaland and Salah in there as well. 42 of his 84 total points in the season have come from two matches in the entire season.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind. He has 7 goals on the season with an XG of 4.88, which, pretty big delta there, about 2.112. On top of that, he has 5 assists with an XA of 2.51. So his assists compared to his XA are almost double.
Yeah.
With that being said, his fixtures are incredible. He's the talisman for Chelsea. And I think it's a no-brainer to go with him, in my opinion. So
yeah, it's good to bring up those facts, Luke, just so everybody knows.
Just some food for thought, right? Just a little food for thought there. Okay, so the player... Is that all you have on Cole Palmer, Paul? Is there anything else?
I honestly think Palmer's pretty self-explanatory at this point, really.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So the second player that I think is going to be a non-negotiable for a lot of managers is Morgan Rodgers. He has a really nice run of fixtures coming up soon, where Villa have 3 great fixtures out of their next 4, where they have Crystal Palace at home, Chelsea away, Brentford at home, and Southampton at home, and then Nottingham Forest away. So I love 4 of those 5 fixtures, and I think Villa are going to turn their season around a little bit. They've been dragging behind a little bit, but I think it's time for them to turn around, and Watkins is someone I also really like as well.
I like Watkins a lot.
I don't know if I'm going to go there because there's so many great forward options, and a lot of the current forwards are firing at the moment. Watkins is someone who has the potential to go for a brace or a hat trick any week. He just hasn't quite put it together this season yet. I do worry about not having him, though, because I think it will. So alternatively, if you don't have the funds to go to Watkins, I think Rodgers at his price point and what he allows you to do in the rest of your team is such a good option. He's such good value to have in your team. And I really like their fixtures. So do you think Morgan Rodgers is up there with you as well, Paul, to have him in?
I don't think he is. I think the value that he provides for your team at $5.4 million is exceptional for what he can do. But I just don't know if he's there yet as a player to produce consistent returns in an FPL team. Because, if we look at his returns this year, he has over the last, he has 1 point, 9 points, 1 point, 6 points, 3 points, 7 points. Like, he's kind of ticking away there, but he's really not. That's over the last 4 game weeks, he has 17 points. Which isn't bad. And for his price value, that's relatively good. But I just think there's better options out there,
Yeah, I think my pushback on that a little bit, right? I do agree with what you're saying. Those fixtures have been more difficult, right, than the run that they have coming up. And Rodgers has been taking up really good positions the entirety of the season. He's been in one of their more attacking players over the course of this Premier League and, Champions League run that they've been on. And I think that he's kind of growing into, you can see his confidence building over the course of the weeks, week to week. I really believe in him as a player. And I think that at 5.4 million, he allows me to do so much more in my teams that in my team that I fully am on board with having Rodgers in my team. So,
yeah, I mean, if it were me, I think in my wild card, I'm basically going to have one lower tier midfield option, and that's ESR.
Okay, interesting. All right.
I mean, to me, ESR has the chance. I mean, honestly, he should have been on a brace last week.
Yeah,
I would die on this hill. That was not offsides.
That offsides was, marginal.
That was bullshit. That was not offsides. But, I mean, you think about that. He had 11 points. If he gets that goal, he's on a 15-pointer. I don't think Rodgers has the chance to do that. I just believe more in ESR. And I think I believe more in Fulham right now than I do in Villa.
Fulham more than Villa. Fulham have been really good as of late.
They've been really good. And they play Wolves at home to start off. And then they play Tottenham away, which is a good attacking fixture. I'm sorry, people. It is. Playing Tottenham is a good attacking fixture for FPL assets.
No one's going to fight you on that one.
And then Brighton at home. They play Brighton at home. That's still a good attacking option, too. And then it gets more tough. They play Arsenal and Liverpool.
Right.
That may be the time maybe to pivot to Morgan Rodgers, but the first three, I think that's a good
move. I think you're missing some of the better fixtures if you go to Rodgers there. The price points are very interchangeable, so I don't think it's too late to do that at all, right? Because you can get him in for Southampton, Rodgers in for Southampton, which is in game week 15. But I do... You know, ESR is a good shout. Just personally, I think that Rodgers is more likely to return more than Smith Rowe would be during that stretch of time. But, ooh, you know, to each their own, right?
Let's make a bet.
Okay. What do you want to do?
Over the next, you want to say, how far should we, how should we say? Over the
I
next
think 4 game weeks.
4 game weeks,
up
damn.
To game week 15.
That involves Arsenal. That sucks.
Yep.
But I will say that ESR will have more returns than Morgan Rodgers. Total points. Okay.
Perfect. Yeah. No, I'll take you on that one.
And we will update on Blue Sky.
Yes, we will. Yeah. Be sure to check out our feed
for all our followers. And we'll put a poll out too to kind of see what people think, because I think that's an interesting.
Well, you'll have to go to X for that one because you cannot poll on Blue Sky at the moment.
Maybe we'll ask the question.
Yes, we'll pose the question on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. Well, Paul, what do you think is your third and final non-negotiable in your wild card?
Well, we've talked about all the big points. I think Isak is going to be a non-negotiable for me going forward.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Tell me more about Isak and why you like him.
Yeah. I mean, so if we look over the past, let's see, over the past three game weeks, he has 26 points. Which I think is close to the top five. I know Salah's at first over the past three game weeks with 36 points. He's on 26. He looks like he's back in really good form. We know he's on pins. And he's just, I mean, if you saw the goal he scored last week, he just poaches. He poaches. He creates good chances. He can take defenders one-on-one. He can create by himself. At Newcastle, feel like a team that are kind of like finally finding themselves this year. And like I said earlier in the podcast, we want attackers that are going to be the focal point, and it feels like it's him or Gordon, realistically, at the end of the day.
And what was also reassuring with Gordon, I was a little worried about him possibly being injured. He did start for England today when they play. I think they play, it wasn't Greece. I don't remember who they played today, but on Sunday, the team they played in their second fixture for the national break, Gordon did start. So it should make us feel a lot better about going there.
That's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. I think Gordon's a good option too. I mean, I think he's around like 6.2 million.
No, I think he's more expensive. He's dropped a couple of times. So probably like six. I think he started at 7, somewhere in that ballpark.
I can look right now. You keep talking.
So yes, I think Newcastle is looking a lot better. I still don't.
7.2. Sorry.
7.2. He started at 7.5 then. I still do not fully believe in Newcastle yet. You know, they've had some good returns. They looked really good against Arsenal, and that could be a win that kind of helps propel them forward.
It's consistency. They need more consistency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yes, I do love the Newcastle shout. Another player that I think is someone that's being monitored by a lot of managers is Lewis Hall. And even Tino Livramento as their right back. I think those are three really good assets to look at Newcastle. Because the other midfielders outside of Gordon, I wouldn't trust them. I think the returns are a bit inconsistent across the board there. But Isaksen seems to be their go-to man. He's very clinical when he gets chances, and he's great at creating chances as well. So I love the Isak shout because I also love Newcastle's fixtures as well.
Yeah, I was going to say we should probably, yeah.
Yeah, so the sorry, turn my laptop off. But the fixtures that Newcastle have are really nice. Here, what we have, so Newcastle has West Ham at home, Crystal Palace away, Liverpool at home, Brentford away, Leicester at home, Ipswich away.
I mean, till 17, those are great attacking fixtures, right?
Yeah, that's a really, really great run there. So Newcastle, very much so ready for investment. And, you know, according as Paul said, I think Isak is the best option there with Newcastle.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Luke? Let's hear your last option. That's a non-negotiable in a wild card.
My last non-negotiable is David Raya.
Mm. Okay.
And I know that's two Arsenal players I just picked. It is what it is.
Now's the time, Gunners.
I think that Arsenal are primed to turn the corner on their season, start to get some results that they've really needed, and really make a push to move their way up the table to first, second, whatever it may be. Now's the time for them to do it, and I think it's a great time to invest before they really start tearing through teams. Because once they get, you know, a 2-0 win, then they go for a 3-1 win or a 4-1, 4-0, everyone's going to be going there.
Yeah.
And now's the time to get a bit of an advantage by going. To me, it doesn't even seem early. It just seems like the right time. Now is the right time to invest in Arsenal. And I think that the clean sheets are going to start coming in, right, for Arsenal. And Raya is one of the cheapest options. Conversely, Timber could be a really good choice with Ben White being injured. We're just not necessarily certain that Timber will start every week because of his injury history and inability to be available all the time, which I'm not blaming him in any way, but we just need to consider that when we're going to bring him into our FPL teams.
Yeah.
I really like Arsenal to keep more clean sheets, and I think Raya is the best way. And as we've seen throughout the course of the season, when he keeps a clean sheet, he's very likely to be on bonus,
mm-hmm.
maybe even multiple bonus, possibly three bonus at times. So doubling up on Arsenal's defense is a bit of a tricky decision for me because I would love to have Havertz and Saka, but I think there's an advantage now to have durable Arsenal defense because a lot of people are not looking in that direction at the moment. So
yeah,
what I'm trying to say here is I think Raya is going to be a great choice, and he's someone that I will most likely have in my wild card come game week 12.
Yeah, the hardest part for me with Raya is the price point.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, having a keeper worth that much just bothers me sometimes. But, I mean, if he gets consistent returns, awesome. I mean, I've had maybe, like, what, like, one good week for my keeper up to, like, game week 12.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I mean, if you can have those, like, consistent returns, the price balances out, you know, so.
And another way I'm looking at this, right, clean sheets have been really difficult to come by this season. They've been at a premium, to say the least. If we can go with Arsenal's defense and get two clean sheets in one game for that game week, that's a huge leg up on the rest of the field, right? Mm-hmm. We are paying more to get that double Arsenal defense, but I think if you go with two really cheap forwards or even three cheap forwards, you can easily accomplish getting all those premium midfielders and then also double Arsenal defense in your team. So
yeah.
That's a direction that I'm looking in for my wild card for game week 12.
Yeah, it is. It is just like a fundamental wild card thing that we can talk about real quick, Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Is the layout of like the balance in your team
from
like a back line to a midfield to a forward. I really am in the mindset right now where I'm playing with the idea of three lower tier forwards.
Yes,
because it just gives so much flexibility. And there's obviously a shout out Isak. He's probably in the conversation. Maybe Havertz is. Maybe Watkins too. I think Watkins could be a really good differential, like we talked about earlier, where I think he could, like, he has the ability. We haven't seen as much this year, but he can get high returns, But yep, at the same time, I also really am playing with the idea of that because it gives you so much functionality for your back line to get in those premiums in the middle.
Yeah. So one point about Watkins before we kind of move into like the structure debate here. I really think that Watkins' price point is one of the reasons why I'm considering him. Because at his price, which is currently what is it nine? I think it's still 9.0.
I look, maybe 9.1.
It might, whichever one it is, right? He gives you the option to get back to Haaland much easier than anyone else at the forward position. So let's say Haaland in game week 12 goes. He's 9.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's say Haaland goes game week 12 and gets a brace against Tottenham at home.
God, I hope not.
If that happens, it's going to be chaos. Everyone's going to be freaking out wanting Haaland back into their teams. If I have Watkins in my team for that week and I decide that I want to get him back in going into 13, then I can easily do that, right? With Watkins, it's going to be probably two transfers I'd have to make to get Haaland back in. But if I go with a really cheap front three of, let's say, just off the top of the head, Cunha,
Wissa,
and João Pedro, that's going to be, I mean, from João Pedro to Haaland, that's over 10, right around 10 million pounds to get to him.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Moving that, the funds to get to Haaland from that point are going to be insanely difficult. So Watkins allows a flexibility in your team that a lot of the other forwards that I'm considering don't allow, which is something that's kind of ever present in my mind.
Yeah, I think that's a great point to bring up, Luke. That's like we were talking about earlier at the beginning of the wild card discussion, that having flexibility in your wild card is a really good thing to build into it, you know?
Mm-hmm. But kind of going back to what you're saying, right, about like team setup and how we position the different funds within our teams, really. I think a lot of people are going to go very heavy on the midfield. And as you're saying, kind of going with that cheap front three to kind of balance things out, because there's so many great options at the forward position. There are truly great, great options. And there's so many, right? So you have a lot of flexibility in what you can do, which is really nice. But having as many options as we do kind of makes it difficult at the same time.
Yeah, no, it does. Like having a range of different options just makes our lives much more complicated as FPL managers, because if you have so many different variables at play, it's hard to kind of sort through and figure out what's real, what's not, where are these teams. Honestly, the main question you should probably ask yourself going into a wild card is where are these teams going and where are the assets going? Because that's honestly one of the biggest fundamental questions to answer is like, where do you think this team is going to go after the international break? You know,
exactly. It's almost, you're basically coming up with an investment thesis for each team.
Yeah.
And if you believe that team is going to be better over the next 5, 6, 7 game weeks, then finding the best options within those teams allows you to build your team in a way that, you know, it's built for the future and the game weeks that are coming up. So, and the crazy thing here is, a lot of teams are going to look great going into game week 12. But as we know, this game is so, so inherently built upon really being lucky that there are going to be some great teams that just aren't going to return. For example, when we have the comparison between DCL and Chris Wood, a lot of people were on the fence between DCL, Chris Wood. If you went with Chris Wood, you are by far picking the right player in retrospect, right? Because he has outperformed his numbers. He has 8 goals on the season with 4.5 XG. He's been an incredible asset, but DCL has had almost equivalent XG numbers and just hasn't converted his chances.
Yeah.
We just have to keep in mind that when we're building our wild cards, we're making the choices with the best information we possibly can at that time. And then we have to just roll the dice after that, right? Let's not beat ourselves up if the wild card doesn't work out, and trust that over the long run that it's gonna, you know, bring you green arrows.
Yeah, so, exactly. It's a long term decision.
It is.
And sometimes, like you said, with DCL and Chris Wood, you just get stuff wrong, and then you just have to adapt to it. You know,
Yes, and not, you know, put Phil Foden in your game week one team and keep him until game week 11.
Yeah,
crazy.
Yes, don't do that.
Totally not somebody on our podcast.
I don't know who did that. If they did that, you know, shame on them. So
shame.
Get
in your corner, Luke.
No, not gonna do that. Okay, so I think Paul, this is probably bringing us to the end of the pod. Mm-hmm. Perhaps the last thing we can talk about here is I think we can look at the defensive side of the ball for just a couple minutes here. Are there any players that you're really targeting to bring in defensively for your team? And if so, is that built upon the teams they play for or the underlying numbers for that player?
In a roundabout way, I'm going to answer your question.
Okay. Yeah.
I think there's specific teams that I'm already targeting for my wild card.
Right.
And they're pretty self-evident. I mean, it's the teams that
that we talked about previously. Yeah. Yeah. So we don't have to go too deep into it because everyone knows what teams we're talking about. But yeah. What I'm trying to do here is I don't want us to talk too specifically about our teams as mm-hmm. we're talking about this. So that's all I'm trying to say. But
yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think there's specific teams that I really believe in defensively going forward
mm-hmm.
that we have kind of discussed a little bit.
Yes.
And I won't do too much detail. But to me, and there's also lower tier options that are good too. Like, I don't think you have to have a back line of like defenders that are premium, or at least top assets. I mean, there's lower tier assets that are good in this game right now too.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. There's some teams who don't have the best run of fixtures coming up, but I think the underlying data and then looking at how they're playing this season, which might give you a big hint what team I'm thinking about here, even though they have bad fixtures, I still think their defense is very investable because of how good they've been defensively over the first, you know, 11 game weeks and other competitions they're playing in as well.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Do you not? Weird. Okay, no, well, we'll just move on. Yeah, defensively, it is going to be important, I think, to have maybe one, perhaps two more expensive players, but it's a great place to cut down on the budget and allow you to allocate more funds in other parts of the team where you can eat it. Primarily, it's going to be the midfield for a lot of people or anyone else who has Haaland in their team, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, there's also the conversation too, Luke, that I think a lot of the stuff we're talking about, the ideas we have about like where the game currently is and like where people want to place the value in their teams, that's something that like an FPL, that always changes as the season goes on. So if you want to play it differential, you can play it where you put a ton of money in the back and a ton of money in the front and your midfield's a little weaker, you know?
Right.
Because I mean, sometimes one of the best things you can do in FPL is go away from the crowd, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which play at your own risk, play the game how you want, but that's just an idea to throw out there, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that's an interesting idea because I don't see a lot of people throwing around that idea, right? Going a bit against the grain can be very rewarding as an mm-hmm. FPL manager.
It's risky, though.
It can be. It definitely can be.
But you can do that in a capacity where you cut your risk a little bit, too. There are certain team setups that would work in that capacity.
Yes, I think so, too. And on top of, you know, when we're talking about defenders here, I think that there is somewhat of an advantage of looking at players who have good underlying numbers, as in they're creating a lot of chances. Maybe they have a higher XG than other defenders, and investing in them, especially if they're not at a premium price.
Mm-hmm.
Because clean sheets are really difficult to come by this year. It seems like there have been so many games where teams have gotten clean sheets and then it goes to the 96th, 97th minute and they lose it. And that is so frustrating as an FPL manager. Shout out Flecken, because you are the master at doing this. Dude, and Fulham's been pretty good about it too.
Jedi has been breaking my heart, man.
They have. And this is something that I want, before I forget to say this, according to expected data, Fulham sit second in the X points table right now.
Yeah, they've been very unlucky in a couple moments.
They have been, right? But that just shows how good they've been over the course of the season.
I believe in them a lot more than I believe in Nottingham Forest. Let's put it that way.
Fair enough.
Also, yeah. If we're talking at differential, Harry Wilson.
Yeah, that's mega differential is what that is. But he's in fine form right now. Maybe he gets a start coming out of the break.
Maybe, hopefully he doesn't. I mean, this is kind of like the Durant conversation earlier in the season. sometimes you can find these players that are subbing on and just huge X minutes risks. So honestly, really wouldn't recommend it. But I mean, he subbed on last week, should have had two goals, had a goal. Yep. Subbed on for a goal last, or two goals the week before too. So I don't know if he's producing all these chances in these small minutes, that's better than somebody that doesn't produce any chances in 90 minutes, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree.
Just an idea.
Yeah. Paul, you're full of good ideas this week. I like where you're going with your thoughts.
Sometimes I'm on it. I'm not always on it, but sometimes.
Hey, we'll take it. We'll take it. Yeah, I think that's a good way to kind of end the podcast for this week. Do you have any other final thoughts for the listeners out there before we call it a close?
Yeah, I think if you are wild carding, kind of, I think all the stuff we talked about is very relevant information to kind of like discuss and like think about with yourself. But another thing too, if you're not wild carding, this is still, even without a wild card, this is still a time where you can make a lot of like really good changes to your team.
Right.
By rolling those transfers, by being on top of it, by having a plan, because you can still make it through these festive fixtures. And like we said, the fixtures are going to come fast and hard. And it's just going to be a situation where there's going to be a lot of change in your rank. There's going to be a lot of change in the players that we value in the next couple of weeks. So just be adaptable and be ready to do the best you can there. Sorry, I stumbled there a little bit.
No, I think that's great advice, right? Because during this time of the year, as you're saying, things do change very quickly. And planning for the long term, it's really important to set your team up to succeed, but being adaptable and getting those players in who are in good form, that could, you know, swing your season in the right direction if you do it at the right time. So I think that is excellent advice. My piece of advice is, if you're struggling with what to do with your wild card or what transfers to bring in for the week, reach out to someone else. It doesn't have to be Top Enzo Twins. We'd love to have to hear from you. But I think one of the best things you can do is bounce your ideas off of other people, because they help you kind of filter it down and distill the ideas to a point of where you can really get to what you're trying to achieve with your transfers. So as I said, my piece of advice, reach out to people, connect with the community, and really get yourself out there and have good conversations with people. So that will help you get to the best version of your team possible. And I've seen it myself, right? Talking with other people about what decisions I want to make, talking with Paul, with other friends as well, it really helps you get to a good place with your team. So that is my piece of advice for the week. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll call it a close on that.
Yeah. And just so you know, guys, our handle on Blue Sky is topbinswithtwins.bsky.social. So check it out, because yeah, I think we're both having a really good time, like we said earlier in the pod.
We are. It's very refreshing, and we have really enjoyed it so far. So thank you all for getting this far into the podcast. It has been great to have this conversation with you, Paul. Mm-hmm. And we look forward to hearing from you all and being back with you next week.
All right, everybody. Best of luck on those wild cards.
Yep. Good luck.